To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Hillary says that Barack Obama, is not a Muslim. As far as I know, she added in a video interview airing nationally. So that's pretty funny, right? Because Obama said that he goes to bed every night and that he prays to Jesus. Now, when he said that, wouldn't it be neat if there was a reverse rapture and the ground started shaking as he said it and it opened up and he gets sucked down alive into hell? That'd be a reverse rapture when people get sucked down alive into hell. Remember that verse in the Bible that says that hell from beneath is excited to greet you at your coming? Remember that verse? That is one intense verse. That's one of the most intense verses in the whole Bible. And here is Obama using the name of Jesus to get votes. He wants to kill unborn children. He promotes sex between men. He's just a filthy human being, bloodthirsty, but he's getting support of black churches in huge numbers. And he supports killing black kids by Planned Parenthood. They've killed about 10 million black kids. If it wasn't for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, blacks would be the number one minority in America, but they are not because, well, one out of four blacks have been killed by Planned Parenthood. One out of four, about. And so Hispanics have surpassed blacks. Not that that matters, but I guess if you're I'm an Italian-American. I don't know. I don't really care. But I am. But I love Italy. My wife and I think that's the neatest place in the world to go. But some people might be concerned that 10 million blacks have been killed, 10 million black babies. And so the black churches in America should realize that Obama supports killing black children, and it's a virtual genocide. If you look at the number of black children who are born to families where there is no dad in the house, and then the number of black pregnancies that end with the child being killed by Planned Parenthood and by its mother, it's just devastating what has happened to the black community. And so even black churches that are supposedly Christian support people who are utterly wicked and godless in their worldview, like Barack Obama. So it's a tragedy, and if you love your black neighbor, your local black church, please pray for them and reach out to them, just like the vast majority of white churches are post-Christian and could care less, and the kids who go to their churches have abortions, and they shack up before they're married, and on and on and on. So we have a similar problem in the white church, as in the black church, as in the Asian church, as in every church, because human beings are in this long war against God. Okay, so that's Hillary. Hillary Clinton weighed in on whether Obama is a Muslim, and she said he is not a Muslim, as far as I know. That's pretty funny, right? Did she just slip and say that, or did she say it on purpose to keep the doubt out there, to play on the concern that Americans would have that we're a Judeo-Christian nation and our roots, and we don't want a Muslim president, which I agree with. We want a Christian president, which is pretty difficult. Okay. Our telethon, boy, do I have exciting news about our telethon. We have our goal for February, $25,000. We actually broke over the weekend. We broke $20,000, so our telethon stands at $20,200. That's startling to me. Thank you guys in the audience. Thank you so very much, because throughout the month of February, you know, if you listen to NPR, National Public Radio, they do a telethon. They talk about it nonstop, 24 hours a day. Give money, give money, give money, give money. And we do a telethon. I think the first week of February, we didn't even bring it up hardly. We were so involved in this battle with the momentum that is growing to stop child killing in America. Do you know at one of the more popular pro-life sites in the country, JillStanek.com, there's a poll, and the poll has to do with personhood. And the question is, what do people make about the personhood movement that's gaining ground in the States? What do people make of it? And there are three choices that you can vote. And here's the poll question. There appears to be a growing movement among state pro-life groups to advance personhood human life initiatives. These would define legally protected persons as human beings from the moment of conception. Thoughts. And then there's three options. And I wish, Jill Stanek, I wish you would say from the moment of fertilization, because you go way back to the 60s when the medical community began to redefine conception as implantation. And the legal community and the medical community conspired, and it no longer means conception. The word conception in law and in our medical textbooks now means implantation. So unfortunately, because pro-aborts are so evil, we also have to change now our terminology to try to define personhood as any human being from the moment of fertilization, which is not as pretty a word. It's not as beautiful a word as conception, right? Fertilize and conceive. Conceive is a way more beautiful term. God conceived of the creation that was before he created. First he conceived. See, God does these things sequentially. You know, the 6 days of creation, he didn't do them all at the same time. He did not create the fish before he created the sea. First he created the sea, then he put the fish in him, right? That's the way God does things, like everybody does things. So God planned the body of Christ from before the foundation of the earth. He planned the body of Christ from before the foundation of the world. He didn't plan the body of Christ after the foundation of the world. He planned it before. So he does things sequentially. And so here, let me get back to this poll. I love all these issues. But so there's a growing personhood movement in the States. And so a person is defined as a human from the moment of fertilization. So the first option, there's three options. And the personhood choice is winning by a landslide. It's about 90% are voting for personhood. That's astounding. 90% at JillStanek.com. And Jill supports both. She supports regulating child killing and personhood. You know, that's what she does. But the first option is this. We are still one pro-life Supreme Court justice short. The High Court would reject it, setting us back. So no, don't promote personhood initiatives. That's choice number one. That's what the Archbishop in Atlanta said about a week ago when he came out and opposed the Georgia personhood effort, which is now, I think it's now finally defeated there. And it was National Right to Life and the Catholic bishops and the Archbishop down there that defeated it. It wasn't Planned Parenthood. But anyway, 2% out of everyone who has voted said they think that the problem is we need one more pro-life justice first. And that's tremendous. You know why that's great? Because that's been an argument for some years now from National Right to Life and Jay Sekulow and Focus on the Family. We need one more judge. But American Right to Life has spent the last year shouting from the housetops that every judge on the U.S. Supreme Court rejects the right to life of the unborn. Everyone, especially Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas and John Roberts and Samuel Alito. They reject the God-given right to life for the unborn. So anyone who says we need one more justice on the court is completely uninformed, completely. And so this shows that Jill Stanek's readers at jillstanek.com, JILLSTANEK.com, that her readers are reasonably educated. They know that that's a ridiculous option, that we need one more justice. Not true. Number two is pro-personhood. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. Let's trust in God and go for it. Teach people about personhood. That's at 90% of the respondents, which is just tremendous. And a lot of people have been responding. I'm looking at the map of respondents from all over the country. I mean, all over the country. And even from nations around the world. Australia, Japan, Hong Kong, England, in Europe. That's exciting. Jill Stanek is reaching a lot of people, huh? And so 90% have voted for the second option, pro-personhood. And then the third option is people who are getting sick of hearing about personhood. They're just getting sick of hearing it. They don't want to forget about whether we need one more pro-life justice. Just shut up. We don't want to hear about personhood. And that has 9%. So pretty neat. Pretty neat that overwhelmingly at jillstanek.com, people are coming in to the poll, which is right on our homepage, and voting for personhood, the second option. That's very exciting to me. And think about it, if American Right to Life in the last year, well, a year ago, April, Colorado Right to Life hosted their 40 Years in the Wilderness event in the Supreme Court chambers at the Colorado State Capitol, 40 years after Colorado legalized abortion for rape, incest, and health excuses. Now, since then, or just since November, also when American Right to Life was launched, at a pro-life leaders summit, think if we have moved 1% of the pro-life community to strongly support personhood. If it's been 1%, that would be a significant achievement. But it very well may be more than 1%. And especially among activists and people who are staying involved. I had the honor Saturday to speak at a local church that meets on Saturday, Sabado, the Sabbath, Shabbat. It's a Messianic congregation pastored by Mark McClellan, Pastor McClellan, and it's called The Harvest. They meet in Thornton, and there was, I would say, about 170 people at the church, and I presented Focus on the Strategy 2 live with the audio and video clips that are in that DVD. And then Pastor Mark came up and we talked about what's wrong with child killing regulations and why Christians need to take the leadership and support the God-given right to life of the unborn. And I tell you, it was like a revival. It was so exciting being at that church. And David Dobson was there with his wife. No relation to Dr. James Dobson, unless you go back a few generations. Go back to Noah, we're all related. But David Dobson got well over 100 signatures, and about 30 families took petitions, and three church members, women, stood up and said they were notaries, and they volunteered to bring their stamps into the church. And over the coming weeks to notarize the signatures, the petitions that people there bring in. And there was the determination for that one church to get over 1,000 signatures. One church, I think they'll do it. And the latest I've heard, over 37,000 signatures has come in. and signatures have been pouring into the campaign, pouring in. You could get petitions from Colorado Right to Life or around the state at distribution centers. You could go to the campaign's website, coloradoforequalrights.com, and find out where's the nearest distribution center near you. Go pick up a petition. So it was an honor to speak at this church, but it's the phenomenon that occurred where Christians are catching the vision and the excitement and the determination to provide leadership that our nation desperately needs, that we have turned over a spiritual movement to lawyers and politicians. And so the pro-life movement, it has no life in it. It is dead. It's secular. It's a moral relativist organization, and it does not inspire. And that's changing. And so if American Right to Life had to do with moving 1% of the pro-life community onto the personhood foundation of the God-given right to life, wow. And this is happening. The child-killing regulators are on the defensive, and the personhood wing of the pro-life movement is on the advance. And so you got to look at the logo for American Right to Life. Look at their logo on their website, AmericanRTL.org. That is the best logo in the entire history of the pro-life movement. It is the best. Oh, and you know how they got that logo, right? It's an eagle charging forward toward the goal, toward the target, toward the enemy, whatever. He's charging forward, and he's got carrying a baby in his wing. And the baby is protected in the wing, and the baby's in his right wing. And you could see how the baby's safe in the midst of the battle. And it's interesting, American Right to Life held a contest, an informal contest of graphic artists in different states here in the U.S. and over in Europe. And it's exciting that they came up with just a brilliant and an inspiring logo. And when you look at the logo, the artist who finally came up with the logo that was selected, he made a version of it where the baby was in the left wing of the eagle. And he noticed, and others noticed, that when you put the baby in the eagle's left wing, it looked like the eagle was kidnapping the baby, stealing the baby. You put the baby in the eagle's right wing, and it looks like the eagle is protecting the baby and charging forward to the goal. It's very exciting. Okay. So American Right to Life, Jill Stanek's poll, that's all doing extremely well. And American Right to Life Action, their 527 group, ran a full-page ad in Ron Paul's district yesterday in their Sunday paper, the largest paper in his district. Now, his district is in southern Texas on the Gulf Coast. It spans more than 100 miles of the Gulf Coast. And I believe the largest newspaper in his district is the Victoria Advocate. And they ran this American Right to Life ad on page 7 of their news section, A7. And boy, American Right to Life's office manager has been blasted by some who think Ron Paul is pro-life. Now, Ron Paul is pro-choice state by state. Ron Paul says that the federal government should be tolerant of the states authorizing the killing of children. And he's wrong. Of course, no government has a pass from God to be tolerant while those around them slaughter innocent children, systematically authorize the killing of the innocent. No government has that kind of authority from God to be apathetic or tolerant and look the other way. Rescue those being drawn toward death. Don't stand back and let them die. If you say, we didn't do it, Lord, we didn't know it, we didn't see it, okay, then it's not your fault. But if you know it, you see it, and you do nothing, it is your fault. And that comes straight out of the Bible. And the Christians who've been supporting Ron Paul, you know what we have found out Now, I bet you some of them are listening to this show right now. So, guys, as you're listening, check me to see if this is true about you. The Christian pro-lifers who have been supporting Ron Paul for some years, they actually didn't even know. I'm going to tell you something they didn't know. They just heard Ron Paul is a doctor, OBGYN, and delivered 4,000 babies, never killed a one of them. Congratulations. They did not know that Ron Paul's position was that the federal government should allow the states to authorize the killing of children if the states so decide. They didn't know that about him. They didn't know that about him, and they formed their decision that Ron Paul is a pro-life hero under a lack of information. You know, a lot of people get such a competitive spirit built up in them that they just have to have a dog in a race. They just have to. If there's a race and they don't have a dog in the race, they don't know what they're going to do. So you know what? When you have to have a dog in a race, you get a dog. That's what you get. And so for the pro-life Christians who have been supporting Ron Paul, and you did not know all along that he advocates that the federal government be tolerant of the states authorizing the killing of children, please reconsider. Ask God to give you the patience and the courage to reconsider with that new information. Now, let's go to the phones. And from The Harvest, we have Pastor Mark McClellan on the line. Pastor, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, I was just wanting to call in to say I appreciate your radio show, and it was great having you on Shabbat, and it was very informative. Most of our people, they just didn't know all of the subtleties of what the partial birth abortion ban was all about.
What a tragedy that all was, a 15-year fiasco, waste of time and effort to not be able to save a single baby.
That's right, that's right. And just the letdown in terms of realizing that many of our politicians who say they're pro-life really in the end are not pro-life. And that was so important for us to hear and understand that.
Well, I'm so encouraged, Pastor Mark. Going to your church was a major blessing for me. What a Christian family you have at that church. Well, the joy of the Lord was just abounding.
That's great, and it was a blessing to have you in. One of the things I wanted to say, Bob, is that if there are pastors listening to your show, contact Bob and get him out to your congregation. Let him present what he presented to us. It is some of the most important, most crucial information that we need to know and to be able to begin to pray about and get involved in light of all that's happened. And so I just want to encourage the listeners, contact your pastor and get Bob out to your congregation.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mark McClellan. Your church, your congregation, you're messianic.
Yes.
And so, of course, this is all so very relevant because of our love for Israel. Of course, God has a love for every nation. He has a special love for Abraham's descendants.
Yes.
And he always will. And so we talk about the Holocaust because there were German judges who said, well, it's wrong to kill a Jew, an innocent Jew, but it's the law. So because it's the law, I have to uphold it.
That's right. In fact, Bob, if we cannot return to the sanctity of life and fight that battle on every ground, then Jews will die in the end again anyway. And so this is crucial to the Jewish audience as well as the Christian audience. To stand for life is to stand for every one of us.
That's
and
absolutely
we have to do that.
Right. And Pastor Mark, we've taken tours. We take a Bible tour of a country where the events of the Bible occurred every couple of years at Denver Bible Church and Bob and Yurt Live. And we've gone to Italy, Greece, Turkey, and Israel three times, the Holy Land.
Uh-huh.
And there we go to, just like in Washington, D.C., I don't know if you've been able to go to the Holocaust Museum.
Yes.
And they're so extraordinary. And in Jerusalem, they have outside the Avenue of the Righteous.
Yes.
And this is a place where they plant a tree for people like Schindler, for example.
Yes, Oscar, the Righteous Gentiles.
The Righteous Gentiles. But then also like the family of Corrie ten Boom.
Yes.
and those who had the courage to stand up to try to protect the innocent.
Yes.
And today, we now have, in America, 50 million children slaughtered, and it's the opportunity for the body of Christ, for Christians, to stand up and declare God's righteousness, his love for the innocent, and our refusal to tolerate those who would regulate the killing of innocent children.
That's right. We can no longer point to Europe and to Germany. We have a Holocaust on our own soil. It's time for us to rise up like Corrie Ten Boom and the Bonhoeffers of Germany and to say, enough. This is enough. We must move. We must act. And I think the Personhood Amendment is one of the best places to start that process.
Yeah, because Christians could learn. They could become involved through this effort that glorifies God in every way.
Yeah.
And Pastor Mark, would you say this is true or false? When you have an on-fire pro-lifer in your church, it is ministry. It moves people toward revival and loving their neighbor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if we miss these issues, and if we do not act on these issues, what good is our prayers and our worship songs and all the things we do? It's meaningless. It's hypocrisy.
Well, throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you see God's heart, in book after book, his prophets are expressing his words, and he is crying out angry against those who would shed innocent blood.
Yes.
And where are my people to defend the innocent?
That's right. He says, in fact, when you come into my courts to worship me, he says, you know, well, actually, it's very strong. He says, I hate your new moons. I hate your festivals. I hate your Shabbats because they came in to do these outward external things, but they ignored and neglected those who were being drug off to the slaughter, those who were being oppressed, those who were broken and no one was helping them. And so you're exactly right. We must move to action on these great issues.
Wow.
And then God will accept our worship services.
So
he will meet us in those sanctuaries.
Pastor Mark McClellan, tell me, your church is The Harvest.
Yes.
You meet Saturdays at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And the worship is extraordinary. The teaching, it's just such a blessing to be at your church. And tell people where it is. It's at 88th.
88th and well, you know what? Let me give the website if I can.
Yeah.
It's www.graftedin.com.
Graftedin.
G-R-A-F-T-E-D-I-N.
Right out of Romans 11, and we have our music playing, so we're out of time.
Great. Thank you, Pastor Bob. Love you. We're praying for you, and thank you for coming to our congregation.
Thank you, Pastor Mark McClellan. Wow, what a joy. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, beautiful school, and they got a brand-new toddler center. You got to see that. And our website is KGov, KGov.com.